Hi, I'm Todd Nathanson.
And I'm Lena Morgan.
And this is Song Versus Song. We have a great episode today. We are doing Wannabe by the Spice Girls versus M-Bop by Hanson. This is, I think, one of the original ones I had in like a list of 12 we were going to do someday. And this is the day. This is what I really, really want.
Bop,
yes.
So first of all,
I'm Todd Spice.
And I'm Lena Spice. We should have just done that. What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
And we're definitely not Hansons, that's for sure.
I could be a Hanson.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, I could be a Taylor, the one on the piano, the good one. Or at least the not outwardly terrible one.
He is a boy. Just diving right into that one, huh?
The muck and the mire.
Let's just admit that the Hansons were very young when they became famous, and that never goes well for anybody.
They were very extremely respectable for child stars for a very long time.
They did a great job for a while, and then like right at the start, this is the last thing I want to talk about.
I put it the absolute last. I drove right into that one. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. Yep, they were briefly canceled in the early 2020s, and then I think they eventually got away with it because it could have been worse.
Because they peaked in 1997. No one cares. Like, you're a diehard or you're not, and you're probably not.
They had like 1,000 fans and like 10% of them left, which I'm sure was terrible for them.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, in 1997, there was a MTV show called Celebrity Deathmatch, where you could, where they put this claymation cartoon where they would have
humanity.
Celebrities fight, where they would have celebrities fight each other. They would have like, what were the original ones? Like Siskel versus Ebert, or Jerry Seinfeld versus Tim Allen. It was very 90s. And their first big episode was the Spice Girls versus Hanson. And I watched every goddamn episode of that show. And then I vaguely made this podcast based on it.
Oh.
And now, I mean, like, it, because of that show, I always kind of group things as blank versus blank. That's always how my brain has worked. And you can blame a bad, probably aged very badly MTV cartoon for that. At the end of it, I'll allow it. At the end of it, Marilyn Manson like cut down all the lighting and like it crashed on them and killed them all. And we were like, yay.
You spoiled this cultural touchstone for the kids. The kids don't know, Todd.
I don't know how old I was, but like it was cool that Marilyn Manson killed the Spice Girls and Hanson because Marilyn Manson was cool and Hanson was gay is how I remember 1997. Things have changed a bit.
Yeah, I guess so. See, the part that you left out is that this was the Super Bowl episode. This was the halftime show.
Right.
And there were a number of other things from this episode. I believe the first of which was Howard Stern versus Kathy Lee, if you really want to like make it the 90s for sure.
I think that was a different episode.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the same one. There were like a bunch of, I think it was like a bunch that they did during the halftime show, and that was also one of them.
As I recall, Howard Stern dissolved Kathy Lee Gifford with his noxious farts.
What I know is that Howard Stern was very happy with Celebrity Deathmatch, and that Hanson was very unhappy with Celebrity Deathmatch. My understanding is that they cried, and then their dad attempted to sue.
Wow. That's amazing. I did not know that. Compared to how many other people died in that show, Hanson got off fairly easy. It was like not very, particularly graphic.
I believe that, I think they probably were more upset because the pitch was that the Spice Girls versus Hanson was the battle of the two most annoying bands in the world.
I remember that. That's certainly how it was at the time. I was not listening to pop music at the time. I did not really know who the Spice Girls were. I did not really know who Hanson was. I knew it was uncool to like Hanson, but I did not know why.
Well, you know why now, don't you?
do I know why it's uncool now or why it's uncool then?
Why it was uncool then in 1997?
Because teenage girls like them.
That's
same
it.
Same for the Spice Girls.
That
yes.
was literally it. They were hated for the same reason. They hit the same demographic, which was young girls. And everybody hates what young girls like.
I guess I don't know if that's true.
I guess it's not true anymore, is it? Is that still true in 2023? It definitely was true in 1997.
I don't know. Like, BTS fan is, I think, an insult. But, like, for the reason that all stans are annoying. But, like, BTS did not get a whole lot of shit for being... Like, BTS didn't get any shit for it.
Right, well, I don't dislike BTS. I just don't like it when if I make an offhanded comment about an artist... that somebody's going to come in and say, why do you look like a sad old 70-year-old witch? And then a bunch of other people are going to... Anyway, not that I'm bringing anything personal to the table, but anyway, yes. So,
I mean, it was much easier to make mean comments about Hanson in 1997 when you wouldn't get swarmed on the internet because girls were not on the internet at the time.
See, there, yeah, that's right. Well, in this way, I guess Twitter's good, huh? They got their revenge.
I mean, it's bad in a different way.
Anyway, Revenge of the Nerds, but it's Revenge of the Stans. Oh my, where's that movie? Anyway, we've really gone far afoul of where we started. So that was really it, huh? The reason you did these two was because Celebrity Deathmatch. No other reason. You don't look at it now and go, there's things about these artists and songs that also make sense. In the regular context of our show, Todd.
I mean, well, they were, you know, both number one hits in 1997. They were both humongous pop songs right at a time when pop wasn't a thing, but was starting to become a thing for the rest of the 90s. They were both beloved by teenage girls. They are both complete nonsense.
Or are they?
Well,
or are they?
Well, my first response is zigga zigga. But on the other hand... Mbop, doob a dop, bop, doob bop.
Yeah, but one of those songs was about taking MDMA and having sex, apparently.
I did not know that till today.
And the other one is about, like, the inevitability of death and YOLO. from the mouths of babes. And also Hanson is there. Sorry, that's terrible. Yeah, got him. Anyway, yes. Well, we've dragged this nonsense out for a very long time. What song is better? If you got to pick one.
I would say, you know, neither of these were my favorite songs at the time. I've had to, you know, learn to understand that songs that teenage girls are fine. They can often be even good sometimes in a rare blue moon.
Wow.
I lean Wannabe because I don't like Mbop. And Wannabe is a good song. It's not my favorite Spice Girls song. I can think of many Spice Girls songs I like more than Wannabe. But it's probably Wannabe because Mbop is not a good song. So there you go.
Well, now you've made it hard. Because when I came into this, I thought for sure you were going to go hard in the tank for Hanson. I really thought you were. That was my gut instinct.
I'm a humongous Hanson fan.
You just don't like this song.
Recent controversies notwithstanding. Here's the thing, though. I have seen Hanson. I saw them live. I saw them do this song live. This song is much better live than it is on that record in 1997.
So what you're telling me is this is the Dust Brothers' fault.
Yes, I am saying it's the Dust Brothers' fault. Also, just... By the time they got big and they were recording live, their voices had pitched down a bit. Like, you just, even like in 1997, they are not so obnoxiously squeaky on that tour.
Did you listen
as
to
they are on that
Mbop
record.
2.0, the one that just came out last month?
Mbop 2.0?
Yes.
Let me see Mbop 2.0.
Oh, man. I thought for sure. What kind
Busted?
Of research are you doing? Yes.
Busted.
That's the name
Busted
of...
Busted were a UK punk band. They were like the Sum 41 of the UK. It's a very pop-punk version of this I'm listening to now. This isn't terrible. Why is that funny?
I don't know. I just thought that maybe because they're older and so their voices are pitched differently.
Yeah,
that
no,
you
I
would like it. I don't know.
I've seen them perform it live. And I like it much better. I mean, they don't have a DJ. They don't have a scratch DJ live. So
wiki, wiki, wiki.
I like the Spice Girls in 1997 more than I like Hanson in 1997, though.
Okay. So I guess what I'm asking is, if you don't like Mbop, but you do like Hanson, then Todd, where's the love?
God damn it. You answer the question, God damn it.
I mean, this is really predictable. You knew I was going to pick the Spice Girls.
Yes, I knew you were going to pick
it. There was literally no chance that I was going to pick Hanson. I have nothing with which to relate. No way to connect with them, really. Like, and also, learning that this, like, very happy poppy song is actually about, like, YOLO and, like, we're all going to die and life's temporary. I was like, I don't need to be told that, Hanson. I already know. And there have been, there are songs that do a better job of that. I'm 43 years old, you children. I know. I'm well aware.
You weren't 43 when the song came out.
How do you know? How do you? Here's what I'll tell you. I wasn't, but what I think is kind of fascinating, which I had forgotten until I was researching this. So there's the immediacy in which they became famous. Like, it happened very suddenly and very fast. And it happened so quickly that nobody predicted at a particular event how many screaming girls were going to show up. So we may have mentioned on the show that I'm from the state of New Jersey, take a drink. There are, so in the 90s, there were a number of malls in upper New Jersey, in Bergen County, New Jersey, right?
Malls were a thing that existed in the 90s. You don't have them anymore, but
they are gone now, which is weird. But they were very big in the 90s and in the 80s. But in the 90s, when I was a teenager, they were very big for me. And I lived near a town called Paramus. And Paramus had a ton of malls. It had the Riverside Square, which was the rich person mall, Bergen Mall, which was the poor person mall. And then there were the two middle ground malls, Garden State Plaza and Paramus Park. And Hanson, on May 7th, the day after my 17th birthday, 1997, played Paramus Park. And at the time, nobody knew how big they were. Now, the reason they did Paramus Park is not because it was the biggest mall. In fact, at the time, the big mall was Garden State Plaza. But Garden State Plaza didn't really have like an area with which to perform. Like, it wasn't really designed with that in mind, whereas Paramus Park did. This is like a weird, like, I couldn't believe when I was like, Paramus Park? I have information about this. I remember Paramus Park in 1997. I'm useful. So they had a space that was, but like, it was the kind of space that if you were in high school or college and you were going to go and like sing with your choir, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
And also Hanson was doing it. And the idea was, you know, maybe like 100 people would show up. And instead it was throngs because it happened so fast. And I can't tell if I'm inventing the memory that I vaguely remember that happened or not. But I believe it.
I mean, it certainly happened a lot of times in 1997.
Here's what I know. When I was a kid, I performed at Paramus Park Mall. So Hanson and I have got something in common. What's up, guys?
And things have gone exactly as well for you as it did for the Hanson boys.
We both got canceled at roughly the same time. Jesus Christ. Anyway, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, it has been an experience trying to sort of get myself to a place where I could like Mbop because I hated it. I hated it when it came out. And I don't think it had anything to do with girls liking it, because Lord knows I loved the Spice Girls, and also a lot of the alt groups I liked were girl groups.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't think that, for that and many other reasons, I don't think that was what was going on. But I do remember distinctly hearing that song for the first time amidst a very different time in music, right? Like, we were transitioning towards something new, but my brain was still rewired for a very different genre. So I remember, like, it playing and thinking, I'm sorry? Is this a joke? I thought it was an ad. I thought it was a commercial. Like, bop, do, bop, dun, do, up. I thought it was going to be like...
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't sound like a real song.
Go to Parama Saturn today. Like, Saturn was a kind of car. Anyway, I was just trying to pick something that was very 90s, and then Saturn, the car, was what...
That's a good one. I get it.
Thank you. Yeah, so I hated it when I realized that it was actually a real song that was going to get tons of airplay, which it did. That was very irritating to me because it just didn't feel like real music to me. In 1997, I listened to it. I was like I said, it just sounded like literal commercial music. And I've never really been able to shake that feeling.
I never got into Mbop, even when I became like a fan of their later work. I never quite felt it. I always thought the song was just kind of annoying. I watched a live version from 1997 just now, and I'm like, man, these kids are talented.
They are?
They are just like really good. It's like, it's amazing that they've got like a drummer who's like 11 years old. He is hitting every note perfectly. It's like, yeah, if I were a teenage girl, I'd go nuts for this shit.
Sure. And I mean, they were very well rehearsed, right? Like, when I say that I didn't like it, me not liking something doesn't make it bad. And certainly they, as a trio, were very good precisely because their parents encouraged them. I think they were like homeschooled kids from Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they had the time, right? you know, I don't think they were being in some way like groomed to be celebrities by their parents or something. I'm using groomed in like the regular, not crazy internet way. Like in the sense that like the parents hadn't gone like, let's get these kids to be celebrities.
They weren't like nasty showbiz parents.
No, like I never got, I mean, I could be wrong, but I never got that vibe. You know, they were Christian parents in Tulsa that didn't want their kids going to the regular type schools. And so they homeschooled them. And then the kids liked Motown and like early doo-wop rock and stuff like that. And so they started to kind of build music around that.
I saw some quotes from like the people who signed Hanson. They were like, this has to be like a plant. This has to be fake. It's got to be, there's no way the kids actually wrote their own songs and play their own instruments. It's a put on. And they were just kind of be like stunned as like, there's no way something this marketable just landed in our laps like this. This can't have happened naturally, but it did. That's really amazing. I wish I liked Mbop more than I do, but I don't like that first album at all. Like, it's not even like that. I don't like their songs. I just don't like their voices. They're too high. They're too shrill.
You know what?
Like,
I thought listening to that first album, I had one thought, and it's really, really silly, but I stand by it. Weird.
Isn't it weird?
Is a Miley Cyrus ballad.
I mean, all teen pop really just kind of sounds the same.
But it really like when, but Taylor Hanson's voice even has got like that almost Miley rasp to it.
That is true. And they both are in the kind of the same range because he's kind of got like that high prepubescent voice and Miley's always had kind of a low voice. So,
and here's a fun fact. I mean, Miley Cyrus was very young at the time, much younger than even the youngest Hanson.
Oh, yeah, she would have been like one or something like that.
She was, I mean, I don't know
like
when
five.
This happened, but I could tell you this. She posted a number of years ago a picture of herself and her whole family with Hanson.
The Cyruses and the Hansons.
I was like, look at this. This could have been a thing. There's an alternate universe where Miley Cyrus pulled the Hansons up and was like, I'm giving you a second chance. Let's go.
What?
I'm going to sing Weird and then we're going to do something else. Anyway, that first album is not, I don't think it was terrible. I'm kind of curious. So is it the second album, the third album, the fourth album? Where does it sort of hit for you? The Christmas record?
Already by the second album, they're doing it for me. That third album, what's that called? Underneath? I really liked Underneath. That's like a really, really good album. But this time around, the second album is also really good. In fact, I remember a review from the AV Club, like doing the reviews, like, you know, it was like, we gave Hanson so much shit for being like sellout, like goofy, sugary bubblegum pop. And it turns out, actually, we were wrong. They were talented the entire time. And if you want proof, look at all the pop we've got now. That's the really shitty stuff. Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears.
People just like putting...
At least Hanson writes their own songs, plays their own instruments and all that. That was the year Y2K.
People just love sticking their head up their asses like weird anal ostriches. I don't even know it. Anyway,
if you were repping for Hanson in 1997, congratulations for being way ahead of the curve and really, really ready to fight the waves of current criticism at the time.
Well, they certainly are legit in the sense that they're good singers. Like, they harmonize with each other very well, mm-hmm. which is nice. And it's interesting because you brought up Underneath and sort of, I mean, I want to say famously, but I guess maybe not. That was, they had had a big falling out. Like, that album was something that they started working on in like 2001. And there were all these arguments, and eventually they left the company that they were with and then struck out on their own. And it came out in 2004. And that's sort of why they don't really have a lot of major league attention,
mm-hmm.
is because they had a big falling out with the major, and then they kind of struck out in an indie way. And they just didn't have quite the right energy, I guess, to make that.
Well, it's funny. Like, Hanson and the Spice Girls are considered like the twin salvos that opened up the TRL era of music. And Hanson, you know, I put these together because they are, you know, that's how it seemed at the time. They were like always associated with other Spice Girls and Hanson and the Spice Girls. Hanson feels like such an anomaly now, looking back at it. They look like they have nothing to do with any of that scene.
Yeah, they really are totally outer space weirdos, which makes sense because in the music video they're up on the moon, aren't they?
They are in all sorts of fun green screen places.
They're a bunch of moonanites, those kids. Listen, here's what I know. The record scratching, the inline skating, the Mbop video was the inspiration for the Dreamcast game Jet Set Radio, and you can't tell me different.
It's so weird that the Dust Brothers were the people who made that album.
Well, so like they started doing certain things. They didn't actually finish producing Mbop. They were like there at the beginning and then Odelay. So they left. They were like, anyway, we got to Odelay. You know, Amscray, they had to Odelay. And they'd done Paul's Boutique.
Yeah, the Dust Brothers are best known for Paul's Boutique and Odelay by Beck.
I think that Odelay kind of is concurrent. So, like, the Odelay thing hadn't happened yet. And also, Paul's Boutique was not a hit.
I mean, that's true enough, but Beck was a hit by 1996.
Paul's Boutique is a great record, but it was not a hit.
But they had worked with Beck. Beck was a big hit in 1996.
I guess that's true. I don't know how that happens, but I guess someone should have looked that up. Whatever involvement they had and whoever else came on that record, the way in which they tried to make it really bright sounding, and they forced, like, Taylor already was not really in the business of having his voice that high. Like, the changes were already happening, but they forced it to happen because they thought that that made it sound better, and like adding the wiki also made it sound better. And I think that all those things actually make the song far more irritating.
I mean, if you hear the original version of it, like the demo version of it, it sounds completely different. And it went through the whole That Thing You Do evolution, where there's like...
It did, because it started slower.
Yeah, slower and sadder and like more soulful in this, like...
Yeah, here we go. Bop. Got it.
What are you doing?
I'm doing Mbop, but is That Thing You Do.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I didn't get it.
I love when my jokes land.
I don't know. Like, but the fact that the chorus is all nonsense, that never really worked for me. Like, that's It's just an annoying song. It is an annoying song. It's the most annoying song by the most annoying band. Celebrity Deathmatch was correct.
But, again, I mean, it's not quite nonsense. It's like, bop, we're all gonna die, doo-wop.
It all goes,
death is inevitable, oo-wop.
Turn around and they're gone so fast. How would you know? You're in fifth grade.
Good grief, man. Anyway, meanwhile, the Spice Girls.
Like I said, at the time, these were associated with each other because pop had not been a thing since like the early 90s. And then all of a sudden it was very big.
You say that. I mean, what you're talking about is a somewhat American-centric thing.
Right.
Right. Like the Spice Girls were there. It makes me think there's this movie, Grace of My Heart, where it's about like this young woman trying to strike out as a songwriter and a singer, but she is coming of age and she's ready to be in that place at a time in which boy groups are the thing and nobody's really interested in either girl groups or single girl singers.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to like become just a songwriter and nothing else for a while and bide her time for when there might be a chance. The Spice Girls kind of came in at a time in which guy groups were successful.
In the UK, there was a bunch of UK boy bands like Boyzone and Take That.
Yes, they kind of predate like the 98 Degrees and the Backstreets.
Yeah,
and
they were like early mid 90s thing. And they were, most of them were pretty ballady. They were not very spicy, I don't feel like.
But the point was that there were boy bands.
Right.
They did exist in the UK. And there was this idea that perhaps now was the right time for a girl group. And so they put together these girls, the Spice Girls. And the story kind of goes that there were these two guys, it was like a father and son team that were going to put them together, and the Spice Girls weren't really sure, and there was a lot of mess, and they like stole the demo tapes, and they actually had become friends, and they sort of had this solidarity, and then ran off, and then teamed up with Simon Fuller, and they had from prior the demo for Wannabe, and then put together the rest of the album, and Simon Fuller and everybody else involved at the top thought Say You'll Be There should be the first single. And the Spice Girls lobbied very hard for Wannabe instead. And they were correct. I love Say You'll Be There. There's an article on Stereogum where they talk about Wannabe and they mention this aspect of the story and they refer to Say You'll Be There as a quote six, like a 6 out of 10. Fuck you, that's a 10 out of 10. that's probably my favorite song on that album. And the music video rules.
Say You'll Be There is probably their best song, but Wannabe as the first single makes complete sense to me because it really feels like they were just like kicking you in the face right away.
Well, the thing is that like Say You'll Be There, there are elements to it that you can hear had already existed, right?
The G-Funk organ.
Right, but even like as like a group of women singing together, right? Like the Spice Girls were not unified the greatest group of singers of all time. And there were much better singers who had done songs like that in the past, in the early 90s, like you pointed out. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really make sense for Say You'd Be There to be the starting point. They needed a thing that sounded like them and nothing else. And Wannabe doesn't, like, in 1996 when it drops in the UK and then 97 in
the
US.
When it crosses over, yeah.
It doesn't sound like anything except them. It's completely original, as far as I can tell. I'm not really familiar with any other mainstream music that sounded like that at all.
It's like a mission statement, Wannabe is. It's like, here is the Spice Girls. Like, literally no one else on the planet could have produced that. Like, it is... The Spice Girls is this song. Actually, what is it all about? What would you say Wannabe is about exactly?
I believe you know that the answer is girl power.
Girl power?
That's it.
Girl power.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's about them being friends, right? Like the pitch is there's no way that any one of them is going to date any guy unless all of the other friends get along with that. Like, if that guy doesn't like the friends, then, you know, that's yes. it. If you want to be my lover, you got to
get... Yeah, I guess it's the most overtly, like, girl powery of their songs. Because they never really had, like, the Who Run the World girls kind of song, except for this one.
Yeah, well, they certainly weren't Bikini Kill, you know?
Yeah.
And the girl power thing was, you know, I mean, they certainly were in it for each other, right? Like, they were pretty yeah. supportive of each other at the time, and I don't want to take that away. But also, Simon Fuller and that whole machine were, like, selling, like, Spice Girls dolls, like, immediately. You know, the girl power thing was a corporate slogan. You know, there's a reason why people often made jokes about it. There's not, so like, did you know, I mean, unless I'm missing something, I don't believe that the Spice Girls were ever actually on SNL. They were on All That.
I feel like I saw them on Saturday Night Live once. Well, I believe they were.
I mean, like in a sketch, they performed, mm-hmm. but I don't think they were ever in a sketch. Whereas Hanson, and we'll come back to that in a moment, were in a Saturday Night Live sketch, and it's absolutely bonkers.
Okay, we will get to that. But anyway, what were you trying to say?
So there's an SNL sketch where Sarah Michelle Gellar had been the host, and they did a thing where it was basically like the Spice Girls have a public service announcement about, I forget what it is. I want to say gonorrhea, but I know what it is. It's the clap. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Anyway, the point is they're like, girl power, and also avoid this thing. Like, don't get this disease. Mm-hmm. It's like smallpox. That's what it is. It's smallpox.
Okay.
Like the Spice Girls say, don't get smallpox. And if you do, don't whine about it. Come to our show, girl power. You know, like, and it was sort of a statement about the idea of how corporate they were. The really, the thing that makes this also very much the 90s. Do you want to take a guess who was in the rest of the fake group on SNL, like who everybody was? Sarah Michelle Gellar was Posh Spice, which means you've got Baby, Jerry, Sporty, and Scary. Who do you think played the rest?
I'm going to say Adam Sandler as Sporty. Was he nope. on?
I will tell you, there is one man in the group. It is,
Tim Meadows?
Not Adam Sandler.
Is it Tim Meadows as Scary?
I wish.
Why?
Boy, do I wish. You're getting warmer. Well, here's the thing. Tim Meadows is black.
Yes.
The man who plays Scary Spice on SNL is not.
This happened every single episode. It's so funny to watch people get angry about it now. It's like, it was not like a one-off thing.
Oh, no. It was all, anyway, so it was Molly Shannon was Baby Spice. Sherry O'Terry was Sporty Spice. I think it was Anna Gasteyer was Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Kattan, of course. Of course it was Chris Kattan playing Scary Spice with, I'm pretty sure, a little bit of brown face going on. But you know, tasteful brown face. Jesus Christ. It really, like, it's definitely one of those things where you look and you're like, well, we can't get away with that now. And boy, is that, I'm so grateful. Like, I'm so grateful we can't get away with that. That was terrible. Why should we do this? But yeah, I mean, the point is that it was very sort of, it was making fun of how corporate they were. That was like the big critique outside of just girls like this, therefore it's bad.
I mean, they got it as much as anyone, like Britney or Christina or Janet, of being too sexual, which is funny because I don't think any of their songs are about having sex. Maybe Two Become One is Two Become One is sex, I guess, but I don't know. But they weren't not about that.
That sounds like sex to me.
Yeah, but they weren't not about that either. Like, they were, like, very attractive to, like, girls who were about to enter middle school or high school because they were like Bratz dolls. They didn't say it, but it was there.
Yeah, I mean, they dressed cheap, and I don't mean that like in like a, they dressed in like a slutty way. I mean, like, that outfit, that unitard that Ginger Spice is wearing in Wannabe is like, was like $20. You know, like it wasn't, they didn't spend a lot of money on that stuff. They just, you know, they were cartoons. Bratz Dolls is a good comparison, right? The goal of Wannabe, at least, well, I don't know how much it was the goal, but the result was that they each had like a one dimensional note.
Right.
They were, you knew what they were about. And then they had
like the Hansons were indistinguishable from the other if you weren't a fan.
Well, there was the oldest one who was like 16, and then the two that everybody joked looked like girls.
Mm-hmm. And like
that's
I said,
that's what I remember.
Like I said, I'm a pretty decent fan in that I like their music. I honestly don't know the difference between them. I think Taylor's on piano. Zach
is on drums.
I did not have any difficulty telling the Spice Girls apart. I don't know, for the longest time when I was trying to get to know people, I would ask them who their favorite Ninja Turtle was and who their favorite Spice Girl was. I don't know why I stopped doing that.
So who's your favorite Ninja Turtle and who's your favorite Spice Girl?
Leonardo and Sporty.
Terrible answer, great answer.
I kind of felt like both were neglected. I felt like both needed some love.
Man, Sporty Spice? Well, Sporty Spice had the thing where everybody thought because she was sporty that meant she was gay.
Yeah.
Which, again, is very much, that's a real 90s thing. She does a sport. She punches at the camera. She must love pussy. What the fuck are you talking? What are you doing? The 90s is weird. The 90s was a weird time. And like she at the time, I think, was very annoyed about that. And then now, like looking back at it, she's like, well, I have this huge queer following now. So I guess it really worked out. Why was I mad about this? Like, I guess like institutionally, that's obnoxious. But like, thank goodness that they put the gays on my path. That's really worked out for me. I think largely the Spice Girls, it became very quick, right? Even if you didn't like their music, there had to be a certain begrudging respect because they had multiple hits. They had a very defined brand. They were everywhere. And I don't know, man. I got to think that even if you didn't want people to know, you probably liked at least one song.
I was too young to even care about the Spice Girls. In hindsight, they really do feel like they changed the landscape. Like the entirety of pop music after them, and certainly in the first couple of years after them, the Backstreet and NSYNC and Britney, Christina era, it felt like it could not have happened without the Spice Girls. And in hindsight, I like the Spice Girls way more than I like any of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably ultimately agree. So the thing is, yeah, like Spice Girls basically, they had enough going that there was something to pick up on, whereas there was nothing really on that first Hanson record. And I get that you like them, but I don't think there's anything so capital I important, super influential on anything they ever did. Like there was never, I went through a bunch of their stuff and I didn't listen to anything and go like, this could have been a massive hit. This could have changed the game. Like there's nothing like that. There's good music there, but like there's nothing that has got that it factor. And that is why their thing was totally different. There's stuff that, man, do you remember the SNL sketch? Do you remember what the idea was?
No, I have no idea.
What the concept was? Okay. So the SNL sketch, but I believe they were also performing, but the sketch was Will Ferrell and Helen Hunt get on an elevator with Hanson. And when the elevator's the doors close, they're like, are you the band Hanson? And they pull out guns and they're like with the FBI or something. And they're like, you've ruined everybody's summer. The summer of 1997 has been ruined by you and Umbop. So as punishment, we're going to make you listen to your own song until it drives you insane. And the rest of the video plays out where like, you know, they keep doing like cuts where like you just see an external shot and it says like 2 hours later, 6 hours later, 10 hours later. And one by one, the brothers start to go insane. Like first Isaac goes insane, then Zach goes insane. But Taylor, they just can't get him. Taylor's like, the song's good. I could listen to it all day and all night. And he gets Will Ferrell to turn around and agree that in fact the song is good. And so the close of the video is the Hansen brothers leave the elevator. Helen Hunt comes up from behind Will Ferrell and says, yes, Mbop. Yes, it's a good song. It's a good song. They're there, Will. And as the door closes, she puts the gun to his head. And then you hear a gun. And then you hear a gunshot. And then somebody else gets on and like there's literally blood splattered on the wall behind them. I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever. I can't believe that Hansen and their reps agreed to that.
You know, Hansen always seemed like, as people, just like cooler about their own fame than a lot of child stars. I mean,
this is why I wonder about the they cried at Celebrity Deathmatch. It makes me wonder if like their parents were trying to like control the message and make people feel bad, like they felt like it had gone on long enough. And it wasn't necessarily the kids themselves, but the parents were like, this is probably not good for them. And it's certainly, if they want to continue having a career, it's probably not good for them.
I don't know. Like they always seem to have better heads on their shoulders than most of their peers, or at least until the last couple years. But
I mean, they were pretty, I'll tell you, again, during that early era of fame, they went on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. At which point I was shocked to realize that Conan O'Brien had not written that SNL sketch because it really feels like one of his. but they were talking about stuff with him and they said that the next music video they did should have Puff Daddy in it. They were like, listen, the song wouldn't even have to be good. He'd just have to like sit there and do that thing he does where he like nods in a car to our song and it'll be a hit. And I thought, I mean, that's correct. They really, like, they're not wrong. And that sort of speaks to, at the time, certainly, that they, I think, had a good sense of humor about themselves and also had a kind of a weird, almost...
Isn't it weird?
Yes, isn't it weird? That Miley Cyrus song. They seem like they had a pretty decent understanding of how the world works for such young kids. Like, it's kind of impressive.
They weren't the
Spice Girls. I wish I liked Mbop. I sure wish I liked it.
I mean, I told you, I watched a live version of Hanson in 1997, and I was like, wow, like, these kids obviously are going places. They are really good. I also watched Wannabe live in 1997, and holy shit, that looks like the greatest concert I've ever fucking seen in my entire goddamn life.
I watched, I think they had the Olympics in like London in 2012 and they had the Spice Girls come out because it had been like 15 years or whatever.
Right.
And so they went out and they did Wannabe and they did Spice Up Your Life and it was great. I couldn't believe how great it was.
I mean, I'm sure like the music industry was unkind to them in many ways, but like, there was something much more innocent and fun about the Spice Girls, even without, you know, I understand they were like corporate or anything, but like the vibes coming off the Spice Girls were just good all the goddamn time until they weren't, obviously. But
yeah. Well, yeah, I think that like when Jerry Halliwell left.
I mean, when they could not survive Jerry Halliwell leaving the Spice Girls because it put like a big knife through their whole reason for being, which is that, you know, they were friends forever. They'll always be there forever.
That's true. And in fact, that a song to that effect was on the album that followed it. Followed her leaving. I think also it's probably a pretty big deal considering the fact that, you know, how many people were in that group? How many of them could sing? Because the thing is, had it been posh, fine.
Yeah.
Victoria Beckham, like now when they do it, like I think they did another like tour or reunion or whatever in like 2018. And I'm pretty sure Victoria Beckham isn't doing it anymore.
I mean, she didn't do music after the band broke up.
I think she technically, my buddy told me this and I didn't verify it, but he'd said that they had in fact made her do a solo album and she did nothing to promote it because she wanted it to fail because she had no interest.
Right.
In continuing, because I mean, like, especially if you go by Wannabe, she doesn't sing at all.
Does she really
she's
not?
The only one that she, well, she's the only one that doesn't get her own section in that song. She wasn't involved in the composition of that song, and she doesn't have her own like solo part like the rest of them do.
When they did their 10-year reunion or when their first reunion tour, one of my coworkers at work went to go see them and said, like, yeah. And they all did their one of their solo songs, too, except Vicky, except Posh, because she doesn't have any.
Yeah. No, I'm like, why would she? Like, she was never really the singer. She was there because she was beautiful, and she had a particular personality and energy that served the group. Like, I don't want to minimize that. I'm just saying that if you had to lose one of them and then see the group endure, Victoria Beckham, like, A, like, you're not really losing anything major as far as the performance is concerned, and B, I also don't think that she would have kicked up a fuss about it or been upset or anything, you know? Like, she would have, as evidenced by what happened after the group did break up, she would have just gone off and been married to David Beckham and happy and wealthy and doing all the other stuff she wants to do.
Yeah, but the point is, I don't want any of them to leave. Because, like I said, I looked at that performance, like, you know, Sporty's doing her somersaults and stuff or backflips, and everyone is, like, out there full force. It feels like five was the exact correct number of Spice Girls. Even if I wasn't, like, even a fan at the time, but, like, they just all stuck in my head. Like, they are, like, a band I was, like, completely nostalgic for, like, not even, like, 5 years after they broke up. There was no one like them. Like, the Backstreet Boys were all the same. NSYNC, they were, you know, they're... But, like, these were, like, actual, like, living cartoon characters up there on stage. And I thought that was so cool. Or at least I think it's cool now. And I don't know. There's just been no one like the Spice Girls. It was a concept that worked for me.
They're iconic. Like, yes. I don't... There's really nothing else to be said about it.
Even though I like the Hansons much more as, like, people who make music.
If you like. I don't... I mean, I have no opinions about this, you know, if other than the reality, which is that if you don't know... If this passed you by, the youngest Hanson, Zach Hanson, had a Pinterest, and the Pinterest is full of, like, pro-gun stuff. There was, like, something where it was, like pro-George Zimmerman and, like, homophobic stuff, transphobic stuff, and he admitted that it was his, and then he tried to say it was taken out of context, and at some point, there was a long-standing period of time during the George Floyd stuff where they refused to say Black Lives Matter, and people got really upset, and... So that was the incident that kicked it all off, and then everything else sort of came to light. And I don't think that anybody, like, other than they lost some following for a little while, I think eventually, because they're not that famous. And also, like, you say transphobic in 2020, and it has, I don't want to say no weight, but it doesn't have the weight that it has in 2023 as the world burns. And trans people are blamed for literally everything that goes wrong on the planet. It was weirdly that 3 years of difference makes a big difference. Because you could just quietly go, well, I didn't really mean it, and then just never bring it up again. And he could continue feeling exactly the way that he does, just keep his mouth shut, and he's gotten away with it, right? He couldn't do that now, even 3 years later.
Well, if you are, like, a gay person, there's one more. The Spice Girls are probably a more welcoming fandom for you right now than being
yes,
a fan.
Yes, most assuredly.
Although, but there was one thing. Like, if you want to talk about politics, in
yes.
1996, Jerry Halliwell says something like Margaret Thatcher was the original girl power or something like that.
Well, and also, like, isn't she, like, a barrister's wife or something now?
I don't know. I don't
like,
know.
Isn't she a Tory? I don't know. I believe she's like a Tory or something. I don't know. I mean, like, I know jack about UK politics, but
I don't know. I know that Sporty is said, like, at some point, he's like, no, Thatcher is not the original girl power.
Yes. I think it's also, there was a point in which Mel C, Scary Spice, had said
that's Sporty
that,
Spice. Like,
The sport that does a Scary Spice, excuse me. Mel B had said that even though Mel C was the one that was accused of being gay or assumed of being gay, that the only ones that had any sex with women was in fact Mel B and Jerry Halliwell because they'd had sex with each other.
I do remember that.
And in point of fact, Jerry Halliwell was very upset
that she spilled
and said
that?
That it wasn't, and said that that she wasn't true and that she was deeply hurt.
Oh, wow.
And then people like found like a much older interview where in fact Jerry Halliwell had pretty much said that it was true. And I was like, why are you upset about and hurt by?
I watched her make out with Kylie Minogue in 2002. That was a thing that happened.
People are weird, man. I don't know. Sometimes you get linked up in the political sphere and all of a sudden you gotta really, really read, hide it? your gay past because,
I'm going to make a point that's been made a billion times. If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends is a very, very weird way to put that.
It sure is. It sure is. I mean, I didn't feel like we needed to bring it up, but you're not wrong.
It feels like it needs to be said.
I mean, certainly in 1997, I said it all the time.
There were a lot of jokes about that.
Yes. When the song would come on the radio, I'd go, if you want to be my lover, you also have sex with my friends. Like, that was like, I don't know.
I was like, twist
my arm.
That's what I really, really want. Zig a zig ah.
That sounds like a precursor to skeet, skeet, skeet when you say it that way.
It really does. I mean, that's what I took it to mean. And I don't know. There we go. Zig a zig ah means sex. Mbop means death. We've got both sides of it here.
Yeah, you want some sex with death? That's a reference to a movie called The Return of the Living Dead starring Linnea Quigley. Look it up, kids. Anyway, I feel like we've done it. Do the questions?
It's time for the questions. All right.
We're like an hour deep. We can probably do the questions.
Oh God. We can I can do this for another hour, quite honestly. But let's not.
I know. There's a lot to talk about, but also let's do the questions. So after we blah 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 for a while, we try to make all of it make sense by asking some very serious, very important questions. The first question is, one of these songs is going to go away. It's going to disappear. It's going to be as though it never existed. And the other one is going to stay. Todd, for the culture, which song has to stay?
I feel like Wannabe has a much, much longer shadow than Mbop. Mbop is just like this thing that happened, and like you could replace it with any other weird catchy pop song of the 90s. You put Barbie Girl in its spot, you can put Tub Thumping, you can put All Star, you know, all of those things.
I don't know. There was like bubblegum kind of stuff that happened after the fact, and like I think it would have happened anyway, whereas Wannabe feels so essential.
Yeah.
Like, without it, other things really genuinely just do not happen. Certainly, they don't happen the way that they did. And also, just bottom line, I didn't have to try to get to a place where I liked Wannabe. I just eventually surrendered to it. I tried desperately to like Mbop and just couldn't get there.
Yeah, I didn't try to like Wannabe either. But like listening to it with fresh ears, like, yeah, this is a pretty good song. It's not as good as Say You'll Be There. Or do you think you are? But
stop right now. Thank you very much. I don't know. There's so I love Spice Up Your Life, and as I believe I may have mentioned on a previous episode, my actual favorite Spice Girl song is "Viva Forever," the best weirdest music video.
Oh right, you made me watch that weird ass fucking video.
Oh, it's outstanding. It's if you've never seen the music video for "Viva Forever," it is a 10 out of 10 must watch. It is so weird. And by the way, that we didn't even mention this, but like one of the things that feels kind of important in an interesting way, the music video for Wannabe was designed to look like one fluid shot. It isn't. There's like two cuts, but it looks like it. And like there are certainly like as a filming style, that's a thing that like people had an interest in, right? That's like very indie 90s filmmaking kind of stuff. And the guy who directed it only directed one other music video. Do you know which one it was?
No.
It was Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry.
Isn't that thing in black and white?
Yes. And it's also, it's also what it's meant to be, like a one single fluid shot.
I don't know. Like I didn't know that was like a fake one take shot, but I don't know. Like those are so different. The like one's in black and white and one's the most colorful video I've ever seen.
I guess that's true. Anyway, the point is that guy died after that.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
He got hit by a car because the guy driving the car had been shot.
Jeez, this is a terrible story. Like,
and then they both died.
That is a terrible fucking story.
Anyway, wannabe has to live. It has to stay.
I agree.
For these people's sakes and also for everybody else's. All right. Question number two. Let's get out of this dark place that I've taken us.
Yes.
You can be around old fly on the wall for the creation, start to finish, everything including the music video, for one and only one of these two songs. Todd, which one do you want to see how the sausage got made?
Well, I was going to say Wannabe, but now I don't want to see this poor man get hit by a car by a guy who's been shot. So, maybe I wanted to see Mbop instead.
No, I want to see that guy get hit by that car. No, I don't want that either. But I it's got to be Wannabe, doesn't it? Just because like there's all this mythology around how they. I guess you could find out like exactly how involved the Dust Brothers were on Mbop, which I guess is kind of interesting. But just knowing that like there's a story of they stole the mixtapes and like they ran off and how they actually became friends and all that stuff. Like, I sometimes wonder how much of that is true and how much of that is a narrative because it makes them seem like, I don't know, like for
they did seem like legit friends for like a little bit.
But the story really gives them an air of being like counterculture almost.
Rebels, yeah.
Yeah, and like...
girl power.
And it's a thing that sort of like acted counter to this idea that they were like corporate sellouts, right? So I think if I sometimes wonder how legit that is. And I guess if it was a complete fabrication, I would be really bummed.
Yeah.
If I found out that it was all a lie.
Well, as I recall, they were living in a hovel with their Asian friend. This is what I remember from their origin story, Spice World.
Yes. Yes. A great, great film, which you can listen to our bonus episode. We'll remind you again later. But we have talked about the movie Spice World, where I think is the first time I mentioned my love for Viva Forever. Anyway, yeah, I think that despite the risks, I am curious to know like what the shape of that actually took.
Yeah,
more so than like how involved with the Dust Brothers. Like, I'm not saying that's not interesting, but it's less interesting for me.
And the Mbop video is, you know, it's goofy, it's fun, but it's nothing I really need to see. It's just them, you know, fucking around in front of a green screen and in playing around in ATVs and playing their song. It's not like the most amazing video I've ever seen in my life.
But the inline skating, Todd. Anyway, all right. Question number three.
This
fascinating question. This is a great one. Megan Thee Stallion. She's going to get up to a Night of Hot Girl shit as she does. I mean, maybe she doesn't anymore, but I assume she's still doing that. She's getting up to a night of something. She's going to go party. She's going to have a night with her friends. She's making a playlist as she gets ready. One and only one of these songs is going on that playlist. Todd, for now and forever, which one of these two songs is hot girl shit?
I'm sorry. When I said this is a hard one, I thought we were doing the other question. This is not a hard one at all.
Oh, this is Wannabe for sure.
Yeah, do we even have to talk about this? Like, listen, Mbop is not hot girl shit at all.
Let me say this. there's a scary movie sequel to be made wherein somebody claps their ass to Mbop. Absolutely 100% would watch that one scene from Scary Movie 60 billion or whatever we're up to. That would be very fucking funny and I would enjoy it. But do I think that makes it hot girl shit? Does it belong on that mix? Hell no. It's very easy. Yes. Actually, I would be surprised if Meg didn't like Wannabe. Would be shocked.
No, I mean, she should do a cover. She could make the rap verse on Wannabe.
They should do a remix.
Yes.
That sounds great. I'm into it.
Did Charlie XCX do the rap verse when she covered this?
I believe I don't know. I mean, I know she covered it.
Yeah.
The point is, it's still easy to choose. Question number four. The most important question, not just of our show, but all questions. Forever. For all humanity. William Shatner. Thespian. Equestrian. Singer? Sure. We're going to let you have it, Bill. He's going to do a William Shatner version of one and only one of these two songs. Todd, which one must be shat upon?
This one is at least a little closer. Because I think he could put a whole lot of drama and fleetingness of life into M-bop.
Oh, I want him to do it like right now. Right now I want him doing M-bop. Because he keeps talking about how he's going to die soon.
Yes.
This is it. This is the time.
Replace the monologue at the end of Wrath of Khan with him reciting these lyrics.
Well, he's hosting a reality show right now where like famous people are like trying to do like being on Mars or something.
So they're
on
like
the moon or something. I don't know what it is. So the point is they should do like a green screen thing where he's on the moon doing the M-bop segment of the video, right? Like he's they should have him recreate the entire video is what I'm saying. The moon stuff,
the ATVs,
the ATVs,
the skating, maybe not the skating,
the inline skating, Todd. Yeah, I mean, this is like a no brainer to me. Like, it's not even close. I don't want William Shatner doing Wannabe. I don't want that.
One time I was in Busch Gardens, the theme park. They have a place called the Fest House where, you know, you get some food and they'll do a show for you. There was a guy who did like a very Shatnery polka version of Wannabe. What I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you really, really want. This would have been in the early 2000s.
Look, I'll say this. William Shatner certainly has he could play every role. He could do it. I believe in him. But here's the thing that I struggle with. If you want to be my lover, you've got to get with my friends. William Shatner doesn't have friends. Gotcha, Bill. I don't know. I just don't think it works. I'm wrong.
From A to Z.
You want to get
with me? She's a real lady.
You better listen carefully. I don't know. There's something. He doesn't have friends. Sorry, Bill. We could be friends. Give me a call sometime. We'll be buddies, Bill. Anyway, all right. Well, we've been absolute imbeciles for like an hour 10.
Mm-hmm.
Please enlighten us. What did the listeners think?
All right. Epic Bingewater writes, Lena is Trek Spice and Todd is Shadow Spice.
I would have thought for sure someone was going to call me Jersey Spice. Gabagool Spice.
All right. DRD writes, people are still concerned which Spice they are. The only people who care about Hanson are pop music nerds and aficionados of Nirvana novelty t-shirts.
It's the Spice Gabagools. There it is.
Okay.
There, I did it. That's how much I don't care about Hanson.
All right, speaking of Gabagools, Connor Rankin writes, the 90s were certainly a gold mine for songs with barrages of gibberish. If Crash Test Dummies, Scatman John, and Eiffel 65 are any indication.
I'm going to tell you, I had really considered, and I'm glad that you brought this up, Connor, because I really wanted to make the why didn't we do M-bop versus
M-bop.
Bob. That's a song by the Crash Test Dummies kids, a real band. Once there was this band who, anyway.
All right. Cliff Excellent writes, it's easy to make fun of M-bop, but it was a trailblazer. It was the first song recorded entirely in Simlish. They were ahead of their time three years before Simlish was a thing.
Nice joke.
Okay. Daniel Schultes writes, I don't know what a zig-a-zig-a is, but I desperately need to know how Shatner would interpret that lyric. Zig a zig. Ah.
I'll ask Bill. I'll check it. I'll give Bill a call up after the podcast and be like, hey, Bill.
Alan Mott writes, I have seen people perform Mbop without other people singing along. I have never once seen this happen with Wannabe.
Oh my God. William Shatner is mad because somebody is not saying what they mean. And he keeps going, tell me what you want.
What you really want. What you really, really want.
Like, he's just really annoyed about it. Anyway.
All right. T. Ryder writes, both songs are nonsense, but only one instructs you on how to get with a Spice Girl. It hadn't worked for me yet, but I keep trying.
Really? What does that look like?
Are you
presently trying to get with one of the current ones? Or did you go like, Ice Spice, close enough?
Yeah, that's the thing. Do we have Ice Spice without the Spice Girls? That's a good question.
I mean, I can't really speak to that, and I don't really know whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing. Ice Spice is fine. I have even liked Ice Spice songs, but, you know, she kind of just has the one flow.
Yeah.
Okay. When she comes up with something new, let me know. Boom, roasted. So
both songs are nonsense, but only one instructs you how to, it hasn't worked for me yet. Well, it seems very hard because you can't get with just one. You have to get with all five. Like, if you didn't have to do that, it seemed like it'd be a lot easier.
What you're telling me is that you don't have stamina.
I mean, five at once.
Oh,
in a row?
I hate this. Did you just make a Clerks joke?
It's the 90s.
It is. Anyway, proceed, you 37 dick-sucking podcaster. Okay.
Edward Brewer writes, shouldn't it be, so here's a story from A to Z? Boy, I really hope someone got fired for that blunder. That is a question.
I did also think this. Sarah Zed's going to be pissed.
All right. One last one. Nick Pruitt writes, Mbop sounds like a popified, bastardized version of the Carmen Sandiego theme.
I think I prefer the Carmen Sandiego theme.
You know, now that I think of it, it does start with an Mbop.
It does.
Mbop. Bop do. No, wait. How does it go? Doom bump doo wop. No, it's just the exact same thing.
I mean, well, they're both influenced by doo-wop. This is not.
but it's the same lines.
Doo-wop is a genre.
There are many doo-wop syllables.
I can't believe we didn't talk about doo-wop more. Let's go. Let's do another hour, Todd. Let's talk about doo-wop.
I'm not sure Mbop and doo-wop have that much in common except for the title line.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's inspired a little bit, at least the original.
The Hansons from an early age were...
Anyway, at some point, we'll come back and do a doo-wop episode.
I just wanted to add one more comment here, which I'm not going to read. Violet Esposito writes, well, she wrote a long thing, but she got me to review Hanson for my YouTube show a long time ago. She paid out good money for me to do it, and she is no longer a fan, as it turns out.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I look at it and I think, I can't imagine begrudging anybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have no dog in this race. I think it sounds like a very young person who got famous at a very young age and also was raised in a very Christian household.
It lives
in the 2020s, and it really feels like you flip a coin and either you stay cool or you go the way that Zach went.
They seemed really cool. They seemed like good, wholesome kids who were, you know, got raised on good, wholesome values and turned out okay. So it does feel like a little bit of a betrayal.
I hope that Zach actually turned around on it. I mean, insofar as I care about this at all, for his sake, that's not a happy life. Being a bigot is actually not very fun. And it doesn't really win you friends. So, yeah.
I mean, I've never stand for anything, but I did think it was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, like, yeah, for him and for people who like him. I hope that he came out the other side, and maybe at some point he'll even say, like, wow, I was really stupid and wrong, and I've grown out of it, and I'm really sorry to all the people that I said that stuff and it hurt them. That'd be nice. I don't, you know, I'm not banking on it, but wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, well. Well, that was the argument. Now we have to have the results. Who do you think won? And by how much?
Who do you think won? A lot. Okay. It's a lot. It's a lot. My man, it's a lot. It's got to be like 80-20 for Spice Girls. Just, okay, just to clarify.
Okay, well, here's the results. For a total of 601 to 300, 2/3, 67-33, the winner is obviously Spice Girls.
I'm surprised.
But that's way
that
closer
bigger
than I thought it was going to be, too. Yeah.
Who voted for Hanson and why? Like, that's, I just, again, like you said, like, Mbop, I just don't really think there's a there. I don't think it's bad. I just don't, there's just, it's so fundamentally unsubstantial.
I don't know. A lot of people really love Mbop still. It's like a pop standard. It's a classic to them. Not to me.
Well, Todd.
Penny and Me, that's a good song.
All right.
This Time Around, that's a good song.
You want to promote the podcast real quick?
Sure. Did you like this episode? If so, you can give us some... Well, pretend you did for a second. And if you did, you can give us some money, which we always need. We always need money. We are, you know, shoestring budget over here. If you want to do that, you can go to our Patreon and hand us a little money. And if you do that, you get all our bonus episodes, including, at some point, we did Spice World. So if you want to know what we thought of Spice World, you can check that out. And if you donate a little more, you can pick what we review next. You can put in a request and the people will vote on it and they might pick yours. This week, this month, the people picked The Muppet Movie.
So, yay!
And if you can't do that, just, you know, tell people about us. We're a good podcast. We were reviewed on the AV Club once, I think. Or the New York Times. I can't remember which.
Here or there. Yeah, people. Some people have occasionally liked us, tolerated us. Go give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It's good for the metrics.
All right. Are you ready for the next episode?
I can't wait for what the queer anthems you've picked for Pride Month are going to be, Todd.
I think this was our Pride episode, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I don't know. By the time it comes out, Pride Month will already be over, so it's too late now. So we're going to look forward to, I guess, what's July 4th?
What are you talking about? When the second episode drops, it'll be June 28th. It'll still be Pride?
For two more days.
You could have done right by me, and I assume a very large portion of our audience, and instead, you failed.
I failed. I think this video was pretty pridey, or this episode. Anyway, the one that's coming right after this is July 4th, so I'm feeling patriotic. So we will be doing Neil Young's Rockin' in the Free World versus Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. At last.
Is this another one that has been in your head for a long time?
I held on to it for July 4th. But no, I finally came up with one for Springsteen. This one's a gift for you.
A gift for me. Well, I look forward to whatever happens next. I don't know how Bruce Springsteen can lose this, but I've been wrong before.
I don't.
It is his to lose.
Neil Young can hold his own.
Yes, no doubt. I am not sure that in this particular pairing, but we'll see. We will find out. My gut instinct is in the people's vote. I can say this now, and I'll reiterate it in a couple weeks, that I just don't think that Rockin' in the Free World is going to be able to compete with one of the most iconic rock songs of the 1980s.
We'll see. I thought, I didn't think Mbop would get a single vote, and I was wrong about that.
We live in surprising times. 2023, all bets are off. Thanks for listening, folks.
So long.
Bye.
Bye.